always thought-provoking and informative. Forget the spin and media bias from the left and right. We know you are sick and tired of being told what to think, how to act, and what you can and can't do. Direct from the Ustream It Broadcast Network, it's time for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show with your hosts, J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Real news and biblical common sense analysis starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams, located here in beautiful East Texas, and in a minute, we'll be joined by my co-host, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley, there in Dallas. He's getting off to a little bit of a late start today, and unfortunately, I don't have time to wait for him. We got way too much to talk about today. This is going to be the beginning of a series, and what we're going to be talking about is Genesis 6, and we're even going to go into Genesis 7. We're going to be talking about the days of Noah, which the Lord did state were going to occur in the last days. Now, before we get going here this morning, I guess I should play a little bit of news for you. But let me tell you, today it's going to be full. It's going to be pressure-packed. And again, this is going to be a lengthy series. It's not going to happen in one day. So I hope that you guys will hang in there with us. Let's begin with a little news. I think I see Terry in there now, and I'll bring him back here in just a second. But we're going to play the first news clip of the day. Here we go.
The Justice Department warned Texas GOP Governor Greg Abbott that his administration's use of ballards or buoys in the Rio Grande to stop migrants could bring legal action.
Abbott responded, "Texas has the sovereign authority to defend our border under the U.S. Constitution and the Texas Constitution. We have sent the Biden administration numerous letters detailing our authority, including the one I hand-delivered to President Biden earlier this year." Haley White reporting.
Okay, and we do now have Mr. Farley joining us. Terry, better late than never, sir. But did you hear that report about Texas?
No, what was it?
Okay, well, I can't repeat it. But anyway, what we were talking about there is Governor Abbott and the and Texas versus the Biden administration in regard to border security. I am going to play you this next clip, though. This one concerns the Republican Party and those that are qualifying for the debate. We'll have a little bit of just a couple of comments on that, and then we'll move on. Here we go.
Seven Republican presidential candidates have, as of Monday, met the polling requirements to appear on the August debate stage, following new polling from Fox Business in Iowa and South Carolina.
Former President Donald Trump, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, tech entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, former Vice President Mike Pence, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie have each reached 1% or higher in at least two qualifying national polls and two qualifying state polls from separate states, which is a requirement set by the Republican National Committee. Davis Richards reporting.
Okay, Terry, what they're talking about there is those that have qualified for the first debates on the Republican side. Of course, there's a chaos on the Democrat side. We might be able to talk about that in a minute. But anyway, from what I can see, all these candidates are like anti-Trump candidates. That's about it. I'm not seeing anybody that's got any real ideas. They just don't like Trump. And so they're all jumping in the race, and they're all criticizing me as much as they can. You heard him say that 1%? That's about how much they're getting. But anyway, you want to have a comment on that?
These people, I think 1%, you know, the money that they're spending on that 1%, just, I tell you, we live in America still at this point.
Yeah. It's insane. You know, as I said, all of them are just anti-Trumpers, and that's the reason that they're polling so low. They don't really have any ideas. They just have a lot of criticism. And people like Chris Christie, I mean, I don't even know why he calls himself a Republican. He might as well be a Democrat or something. And Mike Pence, he disqualified himself in January of 2021. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there are certain people out there that have absolutely no chance, but they're going to run because they want to see themselves on TV. That's about all I can think of anyway. Yeah. Okay. As a matter of fact, let's listen to this one real quick.
They acknowledge Donald Trump's dominance, but wary Republicans across New Hampshire, even inside the governor's office, are fighting to stop the former president from winning the first in the nation primary.
For now, they're relying on little more than hope and prayers. Look no further than Mike Pence, Trump's former vice president, who repeatedly appealed to voters' faith this week as he tried to resurrect his anemic presidential campaign while courting a few dozen voters in a former state lawmaker's backyard. Guy Davis reporting.
Did you notice they said a few dozen supporters? That's about how many people are showing up to see him. A few dozen.
Yeah.
In other words, he has no chance whatsoever. Trump fills 80,000 or 80,000 seat stadiums, and Pence can't even fill a junior high cafeteria. It's really sad, you know, and he's making a complete idiot out of himself, but he should expect this for what he did in January of 2021. Your opinion, sir?
Yeah, the really good news there, I was startled. He's actually begun to pray. So, I mean, look, this could turn for a good thing.
You know? Well, I'm not going to question his. I'm not going to question his faith. That's not my. You know that's above my pay grade.
Right.
But I do hope that he bows out soon enough to where he doesn't continue to embarrass himself in front of not only the country but the entire world. That, in my personal opinion, is simply laughing at the man. Okay, to move on here. Again, we're getting through the news as fast as we can because we've got a lot to cover. Okay, even though this is going to be a series, believe it or not, it's going to be lengthy. I don't think we can get through it in a week. I really don't. But anyway, let's listen to this one now. This is about the United States of America provoking North Korea. Let's listen to this.
A nuclear-propelled U.S. submarine has arrived in South Korea in the second deployment of a major U.S. naval asset on the Korean Peninsula this month, South Korea's military said Monday, adding to the Allies' show of force to counter North Korean nuclear threats.
The Kentucky was the first U.S. nuclear-armed submarine to come to South Korea since the 1980s. North Korea reacted to its arrival by test-firing ballistic and cruise missiles in apparent demonstrations that it could make nuclear strikes against South Korea and deployed U.S. naval vessels. Harry Michaels reporting.
Why? Why are we doing this? What's the point? What is the point of going over there and poking them? By the way, the Russian military, there's a delegation that is going to join with the Chinese. They're going to North Korea this week. Okay. Now, this is a Russian delegation. It's led by their defense minister, who will be visiting North Korea. They announced this today, and they'll be joining that Chinese group. First public visitors in the country since the start of the COVID pandemic. To quote them here, it says, this visit will contribute to strengthening Russia-North Korea military ties and will be important in the development of cooperation between the two countries. Now, keep in mind that Russia and China already have in place this agreement, which is basically it's a blanket agreement between the two that say they're going to stand with each other no matter what. Now they're bringing North Korea into it. That's more evidence, in my personal opinion. Don't have the Bible to back me up on this, but that is more in my personal opinion that those countries are a part of that Gog and Magog coalition that's going to come together in the near future. Terry, do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I was trying to find it the other day. We've talked about it, and I haven't found it, and I don't know why. But it speaks about the kings of the East joining together, and so I'll keep searching. But
bing
anyway,
bing it.
Yeah.
You'll find it. Bing it. Okay, I haven't researched that, Terry. Otherwise, I'd chime in right with you.
Sure.
I have heard that. I remember reading it. Somewhere in the Bible, by the way.
I remember
reading it, but I haven't done any research on it myself.
And because the Bible can phrase things in a different way, and you remember it, but you're not remembering, you know. And so that's, you know, this is a common thing. So, and we don't have to worry about, you know, it's not this, all of this we're looking at is not based on that one verse, whether it exists or not. You know,
right.
What we're doing is just adding, you know.
Yeah.
I believe it does.
It exists. Maybe I'm wrong, but I've got a memory of it there somewhere. You know, I just don't remember exactly where the placement is on it for sure. Moving right along here, and this is right in that same area of the world, and this is in regard to Taiwan and China. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to this one.
Taiwan has started 5 days of live-fire military exercises to simulate attacks from China. Beijing claims the democratic self-governing island as part of China and reserves the right to use force to unify it with the mainland. Andrew Wood reports from Hong Kong.
The Chinese President Xi Jinping has given the People's Liberation Army a deadline of 2027 to be ready to take Taiwan. Such a conflict could mean disaster for the world economy, as Taiwan companies dominate the supply of vital silicon chips. Taiwan's armed forces stage drills every year to test its ability to fight off the threat from China. Civilians too practice what to do in case of air raids. China's military itself practiced such manoeuvres in April, and it sent dozens of warplanes and ships into Taiwanese airspace and waters over the past months.
Okay, so I hope people don't get or let their guard down that the Chinese government is saying that they've given them a deadline of 2027. That's a deadline. That means that we are not going to attack them after 2027, but there is there's no guarantee that they won't attack them before 2027, and they have made it very clear that that is their intention. You have any comment on that one, Terry?
Yeah. Well, as much as we're looking for the rapture on any day that's called today, that's kind of out there in the future for us. But nonetheless, again, you know, they're throwing these things around. When something happens, we're going to know it. And it's going to be from even the Uber media is going to be talking about it. So. Yeah.
Well, you know, the media is trying to cover everything that doesn't matter, in my opinion. You know, you're not going to hear any real news unless you tune in to you know, here, the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. We're not going to hide anything from you. We're going to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. That's the reason we're ahead of the curve. You know, I see reports come out days, weeks, even months after something that we report, and it seems to be a surprise to the media. All they got to do is read the Bible, and they can figure things out. But of course, none of them are smart enough to get a copy of the Bible. They'd rather pick up a copy of the New York Times. That's their Bible, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yes, it is. They genuflect when they go by the Time building. So,
yeah. Okay,
they just feel anointed when they go inside. You know,
yeah. Just a little more news here, and then we're going to get to it. I got one. This is about the things that are going on there in the Black Sea. Remember, the Russians have cut off the grain deal, so the Ukraine is no longer able to export their grain across the world. That's having a major impact on them. So let's listen to this one.
Russia has repeatedly fired missiles and drones at Ukrainian ports, key to sending grain to the world. Moscow has declared large swaths of the Black Sea dangerous for shipping. Even the U.S. said ships are at risk of being targeted.
Despite the warnings and port attacks, which have leveled grain infrastructure, shipping has always been very, very resilient in the face of these sorts of risks, said John Storpit, senior manager of environment and trade for the International Chamber of Shipping, which represents 80% of the world's commercial fleet. Harry Michaels reporting.
Okay, I don't see them lightening up here at all. They know that they've got Ukraine in a stranglehold at the moment. We already know that they are running low on ammunition. There are also world reports coming out that that say that they are very low on ammunition, and also that they're making very little, if any, progress in their much-touted retaliation, or the counteroffensive that was supposed to be so big. So far, the counteroffensive, according to multiple reports all over the world, that counteroffensive is a complete and disastrous failure. Any comment on that one, Terry?
Yeah, just the fact that when they talk about running out of ammunition, we're hearing the echo and the amen from the White House. Even Biden himself's talking about we're running out of ammunition. And yeah. Of course, he's not going to run out of vanilla ice cream, but.
Yeah. Well, he says that we're running out of ammunition, too. I'm not going to comment on ice cream anymore. I think the ice cream thing is history. Let's forget the ice cream. Okay. Going forward, let's forget the ice cream. Okay. Now, here's the deal. Russia is having talks about retaliation after there was a Ukrainian drone strike in or near Moscow. Now, the quote that's coming out is, we regret what happened as yet another use of terrorist methods of intimidation of the civilian population by the military and political leadership of the Ukraine. That is according to the foreign minister there in Russia. And here's the one that really gets me. It says the Russian Federation reserves the right to take harsh retaliatory measures. The former Russian president, Dmitry Medvedev, now the deputy chairman of Russia's Security Council, said Moscow needed to broaden the range of targets it struck in the Ukraine, adding what he called high-impact, unexpected, and get this one, and unconventional weapons. Okay, well, unconventional weapons, there's only a couple of things that you can call unconventional weapons. Mm-hmm. That's chemicals. That's gas, or, as I have been saying for months and months, tactical nuclear weapons. Derek?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the bombs that they're facing, the ones that Biden sent to the Ukraine, the scatter bombs, my goodness, well, of course they're going to respond. They're going to take it up a notch, you know? Yeah.
Okay, Terry, I'm going to give you your 2 minutes now because we're, as a matter of fact, I'm going to give you all 4 minutes again.
Okay.
Because we're going to be rocking and rolling. So get your stuff together. I want to let people know about our sponsor, though. Just a really quick reminder that The Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning, all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about $1 a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids. And with that, Terry, it is now your turn. This is now 4 minutes with Terry Farley. Here we go.
Folks, homeschooling works. The Last Christian Charge, Engaging the Sword. Haven't seen Sound of Freedom as yet. The film starring Jim Caviezel, his real world hero, Tim Ballard, rescuing sex trafficked children while simultaneously exposing this ignominious worldwide horror centered in the good old U.S. of A., yes, the United States, is sex central for the world, the capital, Hollywood. Freedom continues to capture record-breaking box office receipts, further inflaming Sin City Central. Rousing from its self-absorbed stupor, Tinseltown is balking at the courageous denuding of child trafficking centered in America. The internet, meanwhile, continues to overflow on freedom's ringing, progression down degeneracy lane was prophesied in the Bible. Astoundingly, scripture is mild compared to freedom when comparing present-day iceberg-tipped reports hinted at in Sound. Paul's Romans chapter 1 passage comes to mind. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen. Okay, well, a couple of things here real quick. Number one, you guys saw that I put up, I think there's sort of commentary for Terry Farley's opinion. And I did that not because he expressed an opinion. What he expressed was what is actually written in the Bible. However, I know what the mainstream media is about. I know what social media is about. And they would take exception to a vast majority of what Terry had to say there. So that's the reason for the commentary. However, I am a member of the U.S. Press Association, and I can verify that as factual information. KRRB stands behind that 100%, even though we put up the commentary tag. The second thing that I want to ask Mr. Farley is, Terry, did you look at my stuff? Is there some way, even though you were here late, did you have my material? Did you some way tap into my stuff? Because we're going to be talking about most of it today.
Yeah.
What's up with this?
I hope people are paying attention and taking the opportunity to listen to each of our programs. See, I'm starting to get goosebumps. Do you know how many of the previous shows, you could go back a month or two, whatever, and every time we get in, it's like, wait a minute, how did you know that? And what's
right.
That, you know,
yeah.
God is all-knowing. He's leading you. He's leading you to put these things up here. He's leading me to underscore them by saying amen and amen.
Well, you're going to see what I'm talking about here in just a minute. But, I mean, it's just incredible. And, again, has to be the hand of God. No other way, because Terry and I, believe it or not, we had no conversation at all. As a matter of fact, you guys saw that I started the show without him because he wasn't even on the system yet. So there was no way that we had any time to get together on this stuff. Okay.
No, wait a minute. I got to throw in one thing. I was on the set ready to go, and he was keeping me off just because he was a little bit nose out of joint that I was late. Okay. So let's tell the truth here. Anyway,
okay.
We're moving right along.
Yeah, you did join about 30 seconds after I started. You are correct. Okay. Now I want to throw this in here real quick. Israel, there is a problem with the former prime minister there, Ehud Olmert. Do you know anything about this guy? Anyway, he gave an interview with a British news outlet, Channel 4 News, and he, again, he's the former prime minister there, and he declared that Israel is going into a civil war following Monday's vote to pass a bill that severely restricts the use of reasonableists. He said, there's a threat, this is a serious threat, it's never happened before, and we're going into a civil war now. The anchor replied to that, he said, a civil war? And the prime minister said, yeah, I mean, civil disobedience with all the possible ramifications to the stability of the state and to the ability of the government to perform and to the obedience of the large part of Israeli population. There were a lot of comments to that. Some of them, I'm going to read this because it's kind of funny. This is one comment that was made by just somebody, you know, that was making a post afterwards, right? He said, this old man is a convicted criminal who was in prison because he took a bribe in cash envelopes, and you believe such a man? Another one simply replied with just something really, really quick. He said, prisoner number 903-2478. So in other words, even the Israelis aren't taking this joker seriously, and I don't think anybody should. Now, again, we're going to get in today to as in the days of Noah. And so we're going to be talking about that. I'm going to be going to scripture in Luke 17. We're going to be looking at Genesis 6, may get into Genesis 7, kind of doubt it, but we may get into Genesis 7. Anyway, all of this stuff is going to be something that you guys are going to want to pay a lot of attention to. I'm going to put this up on screen in case I forget to do it later. This is a picture of what they call the Ark Experience. And it's located here in the United States of America. And this is a place where people can go to see a full-size, built to exact specs, replica of Noah's Ark. And we're going to talk about that a little bit because, again, Terry, Noah's Ark was like a really, really slow version of the rapture. I mean, when you really think about it, that's what it was all about. And unfortunately for those people that were around in the time of Noah, there wasn't anybody, you know, you couldn't be saved after. You couldn't be saved after this one because everyone except Noah and his family died, every single one of them, okay? You know, God promised he would never do that again, and, you know, without respect to the LGBTQ plus ABC 123 community, the rainbow and its colors are a symbol given to us by God himself that he will never again flood the earth. So when you see that rainbow, don't think about social junk. Instead, think about the good Lord who's giving you an opportunity to be saved and spend eternity with him in heaven. Now, again, we're going to get into a lot of stuff, and I'm sorry we weren't able to touch it here in the first half of the show. That's just how it worked out. But we got all the news completely out of the way. We got no more news to give, so now we're going to get into the Bible. So we want you to stick around with us. We are going to be back after a very short, well, the break is about exactly 3.5 minutes long, and we'll be back right after the break with the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Just a really quick reminder that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning. all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about a dollar a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids.
Here's the latest from the KRRB Newsroom.
This is the latest news headlines in 60 seconds with Alan Edwards.
A nuclear-propelled U.S. submarine has arrived in South Korea in the second deployment of a major U.S. naval asset on the Korean Peninsula this month, South Korea's military said Monday, adding to the Allies' show of force to counter North Korean nuclear threats. Seven Republican presidential candidates have, as of Monday, met the polling requirements to appear on the August debate stage, following new polling from Fox Business in Iowa and South Carolina. Spain appears headed for a political gridlock after Sunday's inconclusive national elections left parties on both left and right without a clear path toward forging a new government.
The Conservative Popular Party won the elections, but it fell short of its hopes of scoring a much bigger victory.
Barbie claimed the top spot with a massive $155 million in ticket sales from North America theaters from 4,243 locations, surpassing the Super Mario Brothers movie.
And welcome back to the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, joined by my brother in Christ there in the Dallas and Fort Worth area, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. Terry, I said we've got a lot to cover, and we do. And so I'm going to get right back into this. Again, all the news is over, so if you guys are hanging out for news, well, you might want to hang around for something that really matters instead of world news, because this stuff really and truly matters. And I'm going to start by putting this up on screen first, Terry, the scripture from Matthew 24, verses 36 through 39. And if you guys have a Bible, I encourage you to grab a copy. Terry, if you can read that for us, please.
But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be.
Okay, Terry, real quick. When they're talking about the coming of the Son of Man, now we are talking about not the second coming of Christ, but about the rapture of the church. Am I correct in that?
That is correct.
Okay. I just want everybody to be clear on that, because a lot of times there is confusion between the rapture of the church, or what I call it, the half return, where Jesus comes back and all Christians living and dead join him in the air to be taken to safety before God unleashes his wrath for 7 years in what's called the tribulation. And the second coming of Christ, which is the crush moment. That's when it's, you know, if you're still around and you've either accepted the mark of the beast, or you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you're done. I mean, you're toast at that point. Okay. I mean, there's no second chances after that. So anyway, let's get into it right away. And what we're going to look at here is Luke 17, and this is verses 22 through 26. Let's take a look at this one, Terry.
Then he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here, or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man.
Okay, now clearly this was Jesus was speaking here about his pending crucifixion. Mm-hmm. And he made it clear he was going to suffer, and he did. Mm-hmm. He also said that we would return to those days of Noah for his for the rapture of the church. So I want you now to look at this. This is from Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Terry, if you would be so kind as to read it, please.
The wickedness and judgment of man. Now, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown.
Okay, now, excuse me there. We are not going to get into this. Okay, and Terry's probably disappointed, and I'll be honest with you. I'm a little bit disappointed too, but I know what social media can do to us, and we've got such important messages to deliver that I've got to stay away from too much controversy. And this is a very controversial passage, even among Christians, I might say. So yeah. I'm not going to comment on this too much. I'm leaving that up on screen where you guys can read it. And then I encourage you to go to Genesis chapter 6, look at verses 1 through 4, and see if you can interpret it any way other than what it says. Because it's very clear. I mean, it's 100% clear. And, you know, you can not want to read it, not want to understand it if you don't want to, but that's a choice. Okay? If you actually read it, it is exactly what it says it is, exactly what it means, and anyone with, I would say, a elementary education is going to be able to figure it out. And I'm just going to leave it at that, and we're going to move on from that. So we're going to move now to Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Terry?
Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Okay, now this one is a little bit complicated for me, because we know that God knows everything. For instance, my reading of the Bible tells me that God knew before the earth was created that me and Terry would be holding this radio show and saying these words right now. That's how all-knowing he is. So what is confusing to me, and this is a point where you, I think, Terry, you've said many times that, you know, when you run across something that you don't fully understand, it's just an opportunity to research it. Okay, so we need to research it, because if you look at verse 6, it says, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. I don't really know how to explain that one. Maybe you do. I'll give you a moment here. If you don't, just say, I don't know, and we'll move on.
Yeah. Well, I do want to comment, and I want to say that God, as you've already pointed out, he knows the end from the beginning. Would you do something if you knew it was going to hurt you and you'd be sorry? God did it anyway. Yeah. God knew on the other side of that was Jesus on the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus told the disciples many times in the Gospels, I'm going to die. And, oh, no, no, you're not. Yeah. Peter even tried to rebuke him. Yeah. But here's the truth. What we have to start with is where we are. And we have to take what's given and say, okay, and like I say, as an example, take the sorry thing, set it aside, and then as we study the Bible, okay, now I understand. Because God was looking at the long view. He was looking at the long haul, not the short haul. So that's only the surface. I'm sure it goes much, much deeper. But
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, for God to have created man and woman and to have created the earth, to create everything, and then know what was going to happen, and then also know that that Jesus was going to have to come here and be the sacrifice that led to the salvation of all those who believed in him. That's incredible. You know, that is an incredible story. It really is. Yeah. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on now to Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 through 12.
Noah pleases God. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth.
Okay, and we're just going to continue reading here. This is Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 16. Terry?
And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks.
Okay. Now, there have been a lot of people over the years that have said, you know, this ark would have never made it or whatever. And yet, anytime that they try to build a replica of it, you know, a scale model, mm-hmm. put it in heavy waters or whatever, it makes it just fine. You know, that's something people have got to understand here. Every time somebody tries to prove the Bible wrong, including these world-renowned scientists, they always prove it right every single time. And once they prove it right, do they go in and admit that? No. They just move on. And it's like, oh, well, I hope nobody heard that because, you know, I just proved the Bible right again. I mean, it's remarkable. But anyway, again, I want to put this picture up here on screen. Again, for those of you that do not receive this in video form, I do encourage you to go to www.lastchristian.net, and you can find all of our episodes there, and you can find this in visual form. Of course, you can find it on visual form in YouTube and many other social media areas, podcast platforms, etc. Anyway, this is a full-size replica. This is the Ark Encounter. It features a full-size replica of Noah's Ark. It was built according to the dimensions given in the Bible, spanning 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, and 51 feet high. Now, this modern engineering marvel amazes visitors, young and old. The Ark Encounter is situated in Grant County in Williamstown, Kentucky. Now, that's halfway between Cincinnati and Lexington, and it's right off of Interstate I-75. And, I think that this is important enough that I'm going to go ahead and put this up here, too. This is, if you guys are interested in visiting You can take a screenshot of it or whatever, but that shows you the rights to visit the Ark replica as well as the museum. There's a lot of information that is in there, and the prices are not that bad. And I know I haven't visited myself, Terry, but I know I would love to at some point in the future. I had a friend that did visit that and came back and gave a report to the church that I was attending, and it was pretty awesome, really. But anyway, that just gives y'all an idea as to the Ark, the size of it. It's just an incredible size. You want to make a comment on that, Terry?
Yeah, please. What I want to throw in is when it talks about those three levels, you saw all that grass that was around it, all the way around it, and the bushes and the trees and out in the middle of nowhere. All of that is parking lot now.
Right.
It's all parking lot. And right. When you go inside of the Ark, they have three floors, and they have guided tours, or you can walk around if you want. They have real live animals. They have all kinds of shows. They've got a theater with a film screen with more information and more entertainment and things that you can. It's just marvelous. I just would love to go there. I haven't gotten there yet because I've been focusing on, guess what, as in the days of Noah.
Right, so, and that's what we're going to get back to right now. That's what we're going to get back to right now. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, Terry.
And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark. You, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female.
And again, male and female. God doesn't, he didn't create anything other than male and female. Okay, now that's God. Okay, I'm not talking about, you know, a Supreme Court justice that can't define a woman. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking that God created man and woman, or male and female, in everything he created. Going on to Genesis chapter 6, verses 20 through 22, Terry.
Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did.
Amen. Okay, and we're going to continue. We're just keep rolling here. Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 3.
Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two of each of the animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth.
Okay, now I'm going to stop on this one for a second, and Terry, we're going to examine this one just a little bit, because I'll be honest with you, until I was actually putting the show together today and reread this, I hadn't read Genesis 7 in I don't know how long, okay?
Sure.
And so anyway, I got to this one, and I was creating the slide for it. And as I was reading it, something jumped out at me that I had never seen before. Okay, what I'm talking about here is, if you look at verse number 2 in this, verse number 2, okay, it says, you shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and a female. Okay, I'd never seen the seven part. You know, I mean, all my life, I knew that that God asked or told Noah, instructed Noah, to take pairs, you know, male and female, two, okay? The seven part had never jumped out for me before, but seven has a pretty significant, it has a very significant number in Scripture, I know that. But do you want to expand on this a little bit?
Sure, yeah, the thought has been put forward, and again, nobody can prove anything in that regard, and forgive me because there may be someone in Scripture that can. I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel could. But when we go to the seven, notice it's seven and not six or eight. Notice it was two by two. That's for mating, two right. by two mating. Amen. And the six is for, the seven, I'm sorry, is for, it has been put forward so that they will have animals to sacrifice, which he did do when he got off of the ark. When it finally rested on Mount Ararat and they got out, it says the first thing he did was to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving to the Lord, and so they would need the animals for that purpose. And so that's part of the explanation. You can go to, I'm trying to remember the name of it, what's his name's, the guy that built the ark.
Noah?
No. I mean the ark that we're looking, talking about going to visit.
Name? I don't have an idea.
Yeah.
No clue.
But they can go to Ark Encounter, look up, they'll get more information they need, and that will explain any question they have, not only on the ark, but they have a deep repository of information on just every question you have about the Bible. They've got tremendous experts, scientists of all kinds, and but you can go, just start out by searching Ark Encounter, go to that location, and then from there they will give you other tips on other places to go. I'm trying to remember the name of their website. Answers in Genesis. There you go. Answers in Genesis. You can search that, and it'll give you more information than you need, more than you can handle.
Okay. All right. I think we've given the Ark Encounter enough publicity now. We can probably move on from that one. Okay. Now, I do want to go ahead and continue with Genesis, though. And by the way, what you just said, I can't argue with it. I can't verify it, and I can't argue with it because I really don't. I just don't know, and I do not have I do not have any credit, you know, information, factual data that I can fall back on to do that. Now, maybe I'll have time for that in the next few days. I don't know. Kind of doubt it, but you never know. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to Genesis again, chapter 7, verses 4 through 6. Terry, if you'd be so kind.
For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth.
Okay, 600 years old. You know, I can't tell you how many times over the years that I have had people laugh about that. You know, and they point to that. They point to that as a reason why the Bible can't be true. Mm-hmm. And my retort to them every time is, okay, so you're saying that God can't allow somebody to be 600 years old, but he can create the earth, he can create the waters, he can create the heavens, he can create every animal, every fish, everything. He can create all that, but he can't keep somebody alive for 600 years, really? Mm-hmm. I mean, are you really telling me that God is incapable of doing what he said he would? And by the way, it's not like we had 8 billion people on the earth at the time of Noah. Mm-hmm. You want to comment on any of that, Terry?
Yeah, I'd love to. People want to understand when God made the world and he told Adam and Eve, do not eat of this tree or you will surely die on that day. He said, okay, so that causes a lot of confusion because they didn't die right away. Mm-hmm. In fact, Adam lived to be 900 and some years old. So he lived a long time. He had 300 more years to live after the flood. And this is the thing. that we want to look at is the fact that Peter says it. It's also in the book of Psalms, I believe, in other places it makes reference to it. But Peter says that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. So when he said you're going to die in this day, there is no one, including Methuselah, who lived longer than any other human on the earth, 969 years, no one ever made it to 1,000. Everyone yeah. died before that. And as you study the Bible, you see the ages get shorter and shorter and shorter,
right.
from 700, 800, 900, down to 500, down to 400, 300, 200. And finally, in the book of Psalms, it talks about a man living 70 years or 80 if he's fortunate and so forth. It says in the book of Psalms. So it went from those 900 years all the way down to 70 to 80, which is where we're at now. And this, so all of this is explainable. All of
okay.
it.
All right. Well, I've got something popped in my mind as you were talking there, which just something to think about. There is a real system. We've talked about it before, and I'm not going to get into detail. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's called CRISPR, CRISPR.
Yeah.
Okay. It leaves the E out.
You're living on the edge today.
Yeah. I know I'm right there, but this is a scientific fact that this system exists. It is something that is being worked on by scientists all over the world, including here in the United States of America. This is a scientific fact. You don't like scientific facts, then check with a scientist and they'll verify what I just said. Okay. But one of the things that is involved in this, and you can take this any way you want to, but one of the things that is involved in this is they are trying to help people live longer. That is one of the aspects of this CRISPR deal. Okay. Like I said, it's happening right now. They're in labs all over the world. They're trying to help people live longer. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing, you know, medical stuff. We all go to the doctor to get better, right? We don't want to die, so we go to the doctor and we use whatever the most recent scientific development might be to stay alive. Get rid of cancer or, you know, whatever, right? So there's a lot of scientists who I would say or have no idea about the Bible or no idea about, not the Bible. I mean, you know, they're just working because that's their job. They're trying to help humanity. And so they're working on this situation. Well, is it possible? And I'm just asking a question here. Is it possible that the goal is to have people live 600 years, 700 years, 800 years? Is it just possible? I'm just asking a question. I'm not going to answer it. I'm not going to put any spin on it. I'm just asking a question, and you guys out there can use your own thoughts. But as in the days of Noah, think about that one, okay? Put the two together. Okay, that's what this series is going to be about over the next several shows. We've just touched on it, barely begun. It is going to be a long series. I warn you, it's going to be full of scripture. And for that, I'm not going to apologize because that's what this show is all about. We are here to find that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we ask that you do so before it is too late. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you that once that rapture occurs, that just like there's a last play in any football game, there is that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. And if you are left behind, if you do not join us in the air that day, you got to go through at least part of the tribulation. So if you have not accepted Jesus, please just pray that quick prayer of salvation. Let people know. Let the Lord know that you are a sinner, that Jesus Christ died for you, that he rose from the grave on the third day, and he's coming back for his church before God unleashes that wrath. No reason to be here for it. Now, if we are given another day, we'll be back next time with another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Until then, good night and God bless you.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.